things of spring. And you drive by people's houses and you see some people's yards are beautiful and they're mowed and it looks really nice. And you see some that are full of weeds and dandelions and all these things. And you see all kinds of things. You see some houses with landscaping and you see other houses with none. You see that people have put a lot of effort into their homes in some cases, and other cases they haven't for one reason or another. The ones that really haven't taken care of their homes might be for several reasons. It might be finances, might be illness, it might be a lot of things. But it's very interesting. If I was going to do some landscaping and if I was going to put in some shrubs and flowers and all that sort of thing, the first thing I would do would be clear the land. You'd have to get a shovel or something and start digging, and you'd get all the weeds out, and you would dig up the dirt, and you'd get it ready to plant the flowers and the shrubs. Or you could just go out in the weeds and dig a little hole and put the flowers in there, leave the weeds and everything, and guess what would happen? What would happen? Weeds would choke out the flowers and the shrubs and all of those things. Now the issue is this. Many people in the church today, and I'm not necessarily talking about this church, I'm talking about all churches, many people are trying to walk in the Spirit in the midst of the weeds. And they're just struggling and struggling and struggling, and they're not going anywhere, and they're not getting any place. And they're still struggling with things that happened 20 years ago or 30 years ago, maybe before they were saved, maybe after they were saved. And they're just not progressing in their spiritual life. And I'm going to explain why today and why this morning, and hopefully either this week or next week what we can do about it. But I'm going to talk about how we can become like Christ on a daily basis, because that is the purpose of us being here yet and not taken yet to be with the Lord. I talked about the number one priority was to love God and enjoy Him forever. I talked about that 2 weeks ago. That's the number one priority, to love God and enjoy Him forever. Number two priority is to become like Him on this earth. The number three priority is to do the assignment God's called you for, and I put number four priority, love your neighbors yourself. I think those four things are very important in the plan of God. And so in order to do any of those things, you have to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I heard a church on the radio this morning, and they talked about that. The very first thing they talked about, having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and that is the number one thing in coming into the things of God. We know we have to be a Christian. There's a lot of people that think they're Christians because they go to church or because they're good, quote, or for some other reason. But there has to be a time in your life where you come before the Lord and say, Lord, I believe you died on the cross for my sins and shed your blood and paid for my sins that I might have eternal life. And right now I receive you as my Lord and Savior. There's no other way. Jesus said, I'm the door. Jesus said, no one comes unto the Father but by me. The Bible says nobody comes to God unless they're drawn by the Holy Spirit. And so this thing has to happen. This has to come. And this has to take place. And so therefore, the beginning of the whole thing is salvation. I kind of look at that as the greenhouse of our life. If you go to a greenhouse, you'll see all kinds of flowers. You'll see rows and rows and rows. How many weeds do you see? None. You see no weeds whatsoever. So therefore, when the Holy Spirit comes within our spirit, there's a new creature, there's a new creation, there's a new thing, there's no weeds, it's all God. He comes in and makes a house within our spirit. But our soul can still be full of weeds. And I'm going to explain today why we can have weeds in our soul, and I'm going to talk about where they came from. This is extremely important, where they came from. And if you don't understand where they came from, you're probably not going to do much about them. So, number one, we got to learn to listen to the Lord. We got to look in the mirror of God and see what's in our soul. Some people look in the mirror and they say, oh, well, that doesn't look real good, but I deserve to be that way because of what's happened in my life. I want to say this again. Some people look in the mirror of their soul and they don't like what they see, but they say, I deserve to be that way because of what has happened to me in my life. Now, nobody deserves to be that way. You have to understand that Jesus came to clean the mirror. Jesus came to pull out the weeds. Jesus came that our soul is going to look like the Spirit, hallelujah, that's full of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we have to understand that. I've talked about, I think it was a couple of weeks ago, there's four kinds of people in this world. There's some people that hear the Word of God and just go their way and pay no attention to it. They're so used to a garden full of weeds, and they're so used to it, that's the normal way of life for them, and they don't want to change it. The second group is somebody that comes and say, oh my goodness, I got to get these weeds out of here someday. They're excited about it at the beginning, but when it really comes down to it, they really don't do it, and so nothing really good's going to grow there. And then there's a third group of people that their life is so full of things and stuff and worldly things and the flesh and the devil, and they're self-centered and they're full of the world, and they're comfortable there, and nothing good's going to grow in that thing. And then there's a fourth category of these people who take in the Word of God and they understand it and they want everything of God, and they're going to pull everything out and get everything out of there and prepare the soil and plant the good stuff, and some's going to be 30 and some 60 and some 100. Are you listening to me? Now this message is for the fourth group. Really. And maybe for the third. That's got all that stuff. I saw a program on television where these people just go in and clean out houses. It required four large dumpsters for this one house. And this was a small house. Just of all the junk that was inside the house, not talking about the furniture and the stuff that was usable, I'm talking about all the other stuff. And with all that clutter in there, nobody's going to live any kind of a normal Christian life, you see. Now, you got to listen to God. You have to listen to what God is saying. You have to look in the mirror of God. We sang about looking at the face of Jesus, who is God. You can just listen and say, oh, yeah, I know there's a problem, but there's really not anything I can do about it. I just want to die and go to heaven. There's a lot of people like that, you see. Do you come to church to hear something that's going to help you in your Christian life, or do you just come because you think you should be here? Are you coming because you know that the more that you learn and the more that you hear, the more you're going to be like Jesus? And I tell you, I love the Old Testament. I love the New Testament, but I love the Old Testament because there are patterns in the lives of the prophets and the various characters in the Old Testament that shows us very simply how the plan of God works, even in the New Testament. And I love to read the stories of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and David and all of these people, King Saul and all the rest of them, Samson and all of those people. Some people come before God and they say, oh, I'm just not worthy. I'm just not worthy, God. I'll try to struggle through this life until Jesus comes. And I'll be honest with you, that's probably a good percentage of the Christians in the world today. More in the United States than any place else, you see. But what Jesus shows us, and it's very interesting and very clear in the Bible, he tells us how to take the land of your life. Now, the land of your life is your soul. And Jesus shows us and tells us how to take that land of our life so that we can clear the land, so we can prepare the land, so we can plant the good seed, and the right things will come up. And he shows us how to do it in several places in the Old Testament. We're going to look at some of those today because I want to show you why and how we have the problems that we have. Now, I'm going to tell you one thing. Satan is brilliant in a lot of ways, but he never has anything new. Amen. Now listen to me. Here's what he does. I'm going to tell you how Satan works. He's not stupid. So what he does, before you become a Christian, we allow him to plant weeds in our life. There's all kinds of weeds. There's addictions and there's clutter and there's sin and there's all of these things. And he plants those things in our life before we become a Christian. And after we become a Christian, if we allow him to do so. Satan cannot do anything he wants to do anytime he wants to do it. We have to give him permission. Even in lost people's lives, Satan can't do anything he wants to do. People give him permission. It's really interesting. Now, I don't know about you, if you ever had a flower garden, you don't just pull the weeds out one year and the next year everything's fine. You got to keep pulling those dudes out of there. They're like dandelions. You have to keep getting rid of them, keep getting rid of them, keep getting rid of them, you see. And so that's what God is telling us. That's why the Christian life is a battle. Some people don't want to battle. Some people don't want to bother pulling the weeds out. They just try to ignore them and expect that God's going to do these great, wonderful things in their life. And they do one of two things. Here's what Christians do. They do not want to deal with the weeds. They'll do one of two things. They'll either get so into the Word of God and the Word of God's everything, not doing the Word of God, but getting in the Word of God and just learning everything they can, fill up notebooks. I've talked about this before. Go to every conference in the history of the world. Try to go to every so-called Christian leader and all this kind of stuff. Or they go totally the other extreme and they just go completely wild and all they want to do is have experiences all the time, and they don't really deal with the weeds in their life. They try to cover them up, and I've talked about this before. When they come to church, you ask them how they are, they say, fine. And they don't deal with any of these problems they have. They act like they don't have any. They try to cover them over. They try to be good, at least for an hour and a half in church. But God has a plan. Let's get in the Word quickly now. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 33. Deuteronomy 4 and 33, and I'll probably never finish this morning, but we'll get a good start on it. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 33. And I want you to mark these things in your Bible, and you're going to really find out something here. Some of you have heard some of this before, but that's okay. 4:33, and here's what it says. Did ever people hear the voice of God? Out of the midst of the fire, as thou hast heard and lived? Or has God ventured to go and take a nation from the midst of another nation by temptations, by signs, by wonders, by war, by the mighty hand, by the outstretched arm, by great terrors, according to all that the Lord your God did for you in Egypt before your eyes? Unto thee it was shown, and thou might know that the Lord, He is God. There's no one else beside Him. You have to get that straight first. Out of heaven He made you to hear His voice. I want you to see that. God made you to hear His voice. If you're not hearing His voice, there's a pretty high weeds growing someplace. You see. You need to circle that. He made you to hear His voice, that He might instruct you upon the earth, not when you get to heaven, now. And He showed you His great fire, and thou heard His words out of the midst of the fire, because He loved your fathers, therefore He chose their seed after them. God said, you're a seed in this earth. You're a seed in this earth. And brought you up out of His sight with His mighty power out of Egypt. That's salvation. But He had a purpose in verse 38. To drive out nations before you, greater and mightier than you are. And He's talking about your soul. The soul is the garden of your life. Now, God's plan was not only that you get saved, but He would clean up your soul. Now, because that's what it's talking about right here. Drive out the nations before you. To Israel, He gave a piece of property. To you, He gives your soul. Now, He's going to use Israel as an example in the land of Israel and what they do and how they get there and what they have to do to get there to show you how that He wants to clean up the garden of your soul so that you will produce what God wants you to do. This is so important. If you don't get this, you won't get the Christian life. I didn't say you weren't saved. I said you won't get the Christian life. So this is so important. So out of heaven He made you to hear His voice that He might instruct you upon the earth in your life now. He showed you by various things. Because He loved your fathers, therefore He chose the seed after them and brought you out of His sight and His mighty power out of Egypt to drive out nations before you greater and mightier than you. These nations before you are the weeds that Satan planted before you were saved. You got it? Now, this isn't going to make any... Nobody's going to understand this that doesn't want to follow Christ, get their life ready, do what God wants them to do. And here it is, to drive out the nations before you greater and mightier than you are, to bring you in and to give you their land for an inheritance. In other words, you have to work with God to clean up your soul, to get that soul for an inheritance in the things of God. Know you therefore this day and consider it that in your heart that the Lord, He is God in heaven above and upon the earth beneath, there's none else. Thou shalt keep therefore His statutes, His commandments, which I command you this day, that it may go well with you and with your children after you. You see, what you do depends on what your children are going to be doing. You say, wait a minute, that's way too much responsibility. I didn't say it, God did. With the children after you, that you may prolong the days upon the earth, you'll live longer, which the Lord thy God gives you forever. In other words, the cleaner your soul, the longer you're going to live. That's what the Word of God said. So this is important, you see. This is extremely important in life. All right, that's God's plan. You just saw the plan. He's going to give you a land. The land is your soul. He's going to drive out nations if you cooperate with Him, follow His commandments, do what He's asked you to do. He'll clean the weeds out. He'll plant the right things, and they'll grow up and you'll prosper in Jesus Christ. Now, the issue is this. Well, prospering, I mean not only financial. All right. Go to Deuteronomy 7 and verse 21. I really have a plan here, and we're going to have to move along quickly. 7:21. Thou shalt not be afraid or frightened by them, for the Lord your God is among you, a mighty God and awesome. The Lord thy God will put out those nations before you little by little. In other words, God's not going to clean up so much land that you can't fill it with the things of God. If you had an acre as a garden, and the only thing you had was just hand tools, you're going to do a little bit at a time, clean that up, get the weeds out of that, plant the good stuff, and then go to another spot, clean that, clear the land, plant the right stuff. In other words, day by day, little by little, God's not going to do it all at one time. It's going to take a lifetime to get it all right, but you keep on working at it a little bit at a time. Do I hear an amen? Amen. And the reason is that he doesn't do it all at one time is because you got to get hold of a truth, get that in your life and start working it. Then you get a hold of another truth, get that in your life and start working it. Because if you try to do it all at once, here's what's happened, verse 22. And the Lord thy God will put out those nations before you little by little, that thou may not consume them all at once, lest the beast of the field increase upon you. So, you take care of one thing, then you deal with another thing, then you deal with another thing. You don't try to do it all at once, or that you'll just be overwhelmed, and it's going to be worse than it was before, and that's what a lot of people do. They don't have the patience to let God work day after day after day. Verse 23, the Lord thy God shall deliver them unto you, and you shall destroy them with a mighty destruction, and they will be destroyed. He doesn't want you to take the weeds and just put them in another place. When you look at them, just say, aren't those nice weeds? Or he doesn't want to just put them someplace else in your house just to get them out of the way, but they're still there. He said, destroy them, that he might deliver their kings unto your hands. These are demonic spirits into your hand, and shall not destroy their name from under heaven. There shall be no man able to stand before you until you have destroyed them. If you're intent on following God, nothing can stop you. Do I hear an amen? All right. The carved images of their God shall you burn with fire. Thou shalt not desire the silver, the gold that's on them, or taken lightly to be snared within, for it's an abomination to the Lord thy God. Neither shall you bring an abomination into your house. Now, you're talking about your house. We're talking about your soul in your body here. Least thou should be an accursed thing like it, but thou shalt utterly detest it. Thou shalt utterly abhor it, for it's a cursed thing. In other words, get rid of the weeds, burn them, destroy them forever. That's the issue. Now you're going to find out something. You're beginning to learn why God said, when you go in the land, destroy everything, including the people, the animals, and everything else. They're contaminated. They will destroy you. They're like poison to your soul. You must get rid of them so you just don't try to just, well, I'm going to keep this thing under control in my life. It's not going to, I'll just keep it there, but it's just going to be under control. It's like having a pit bull in your house that wants to destroy everything in it, and you say, well, I'll just throw it a bone every once in a while, maybe it'll leave me alone. That's what a lot of people do with sin in their life. They throw it a bone every once in a while, and they think, no problem, I can control this. You know, somebody, the doctor, there's a lot of doctors that are going to tell you certain things are diseases, but God's going to tell you there's a demonic spirit over them.
Yes, yes.
Are you listening to me?
Come on
now. You want to take back this, what you said earlier about the anniversary and all? I mean, you want meat or do you want me to throw you a little whipped cream? I mean, come on. I'm telling the way it is. This is a life or death matter, folks. This is not something you say casually say, oh, well, that sounds good. I'll think about it. You know what I'm saying? This is a life or death matter. People are fighting this all the time, and some are losing. And I don't want anybody losing. You see? Okay, said you don't even want to bring it in your house, the cursed thing, destroy it, get rid of it. It's cursed by God, and it can't help you. Are you listening? So the house is your body, and then the soul is within your body, of course. Look at Deuteronomy 1 and verse 6. I like Deuteronomy, I tell you, I love it. Deuteronomy 1 and verse 6. The Lord our God spoke unto us in Horeb, saying, you've dwelt long enough in this mountain. I'm here to tell you, God says, you've been long enough with that sin. It's time to get rid of it. It's destroyed you enough. It's time to destroy it in the name of Jesus. You see, you don't hang on to this stuff. Now, you've been in this mountain long enough. You just keep going around the mountain, getting dizzier all the time. Verse 7, turn you and take your journey. Go to the mount of the Amorites and to all the places there unto, and to the Arabah and the hills and the Shephelah and the Negev, and by the seashore to the land of the Canaanites, into Lebanon, unto the great river, the river Euphrates. Behold, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess it. Hallelujah. So he's given direction here. Get into your... I gave you a soul. I gave you all the abilities you need to follow me and to... get rewards in heaven and get an inheritance in heaven. I've given you all that stuff. But you're going to have to go in, possess the land, acre by acre, mile by mile, whatever it is, clear this land, get rid of the weeds, which is sin and addictions and everything you can think of, and clear that land, break it up, plant the word of God, hallelujah, and you're going to get a harvest. That's what it says, but I'm going to tell you it's work. Somebody always saying, you know, they used to say, boy, I'd like to be like one of those rich farmers. Well, get up at 4:30 every morning, milk the cows, plow the fields all day long until it's dark. You got it? You see, that's the issue. I've set the land before you. Go in and possess the land. Jesus said, I've done my work. I died for you on the cross of Calvary. I paid for the land. Now you got to go in and work it. You got to go in and work it. The land is yours. You got to work it. The property is yours. You got to work it. The soul is yours. You have to work it. You see. Some people never work the land. They never get rid of the weeds that were put in there either before or after they were saved. And so they struggle their entire life, mad at the world, mad at God, mad at everybody, mad at themselves. And they haven't worked the land. I'm going to tell you, it takes humility. We'll tell you why here before we're through. Now, I'm here to tell you there are giants in the land of your life. There are giants in the land of your life, and it's not good. You know where the giants came from? The angels sinned, cohabited with human women, and out of those things come demonic spirits. And God said, they'll never be saved. They'll try to hinder you from being saved, and if you are saved, they'll try to keep you from living the Christian life. That's what they are for. That's what they do. That is their nature. They can't do you good. They can't give you life. Only death. So there's giants in the land. Sometimes they'll fight against you. Sometimes they'll try to compromise with you. Oh, this is just a little sin. Nobody knows how to, that's just, you know, nobody else see your computer. Nobody else can see what you're reading at home. Nobody can knows what you're doing at 3 o'clock in the morning, at night, you see. It's dark. I mean, you can still go to church and look good. And just to make sure, put on a tie. Comb your hair, you know. Just a little habit. You know what's really interesting? There were 10 demon powers in the land that God wanted his people to go in and take. Giants. In fact, when they went in to look at him, they said, look, we're like grasshoppers next to these guys. There is no way in hell we can take them without God. And they cried all night. God said, okay, spend another 40 years in the wilderness. But by the time the 40 years is over, you'll be dead. You listening to me? Here's what the enemy did to Israel. It's a really interesting thing. They went down to Egypt during a famine because there was no food in Israel, so they went down there. And while they were down there, they multiplied, about 70, 72 people. And they were there 400 years ending up in slavery finally down there in Egypt. But they grew to at least a couple of million people in 400 years. But Satan wasn't taking a nap during that time. In the land, he was planting giants. In the land, he was planting giants. Now, I'm going to tell you what the giants are in just a minute. And that's exactly what he did in our life. Well, all the time from... So the longer it takes you to get saved, the worse it is. And so it's a lot better to be saved as a child if you're serious about God. But the longer it is before you're saved, the more the enemy can plant in your life and make it difficult for you when you do get saved to become like Christ. And so there were 10 nations in the land, but there's 7 mentioned in Joshua chapter 3, and that's where we're going. Joshua chapter 3, he tells us exactly what the giants in the land were. Somebody said these are like the enemy planting landmines in your life. Landmines in your life. Joshua 3, verse 10. Now here they are. And Joshua said, "Hereby you shall know the living God is among you, and he will without fail drive out from before you," and here they are. Now these are categories of demonic spirits. All right? Canaanites, Hittites, Hivites, Perizzites, Girgashites, Amorites, Jebusites, and my old preacher said, electric lights. He loved to do that. I'll never forget it. But anyway, there's 7 out of the 10. And you say, well, so what, all those names? Well, let me tell you what they mean. All right? The Canaanites, the occult curses, family curses, generational curses, word curses, New Age, and all types of immorality that you can possibly name them. That's Canaanites. The Hittites, fear and discouragement. Anybody ever have that problem? They were planted in your life before you got saved. Hivites. I'm going to give you 10 here. There's only 7 in that list there. Hivites, living in confusion, double-mindedness, self-centeredness. Anybody ever have that problem? Don't raise your hand. Living in confusion, double-minded, self-centeredness. Perizzites, blinded by tradition. Man, they ought to put that over and they ought to name some churches. The first church of the Perizzites, blinded by tradition. Fear of change. Denominational boxes. Now I'm meddling. Girgashites. How come it got so quiet in here? I was getting amens and everything. Till I got to all these demonic spirits. Girgashites. if you haven't had any problems to this point, I'll see if I can help you. Anger, strife, bitterness, and violence. That's the Girgashites. Well, you know, there's a religion named that. It's called Islam. Ooh, ho, ho, ho. Amorites. Pride. Desire for the praise of men. Oh, that's the old Amorites there. Nobody here that way. Jebusites, mind pollution, mind control, false doctrine. Jebusites. Isn't it interesting? They're the ones that had Jerusalem. Then there's the Cadmonites. You ever heard anybody called a Cad? That's probably where it came from, it's an old expression. Cadmonites, pride in self, ancient Eastern religions, religion and cults. Cadmonites. Then there were the Kenizzites, and this is really interesting, hunters of God's people. Hunters of God's people. You know, there's always somebody hunting people of God, trying to mess them up. Trying to draw them out of church. Trying to get them away from God. They're called Kenizzites, hunters of God's people. Nimrod was one of them, if you remember. And now there's the Kenites, and this is taking by force, intimidation, and also violence. And you see that one a lot in marriages. It's the Kenites. Now, you say, well, that's Old Testament. Come on, we're not. That's not for today. I'm glad you said that. Let's go to Romans 1. And if it hits 1 o'clock, somebody holler. All right. Romans 1, verse 18. Just real quick, I'm going to go through this. And you need to see it. Same thing, Romans 1, 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifested in them, for God has shown it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal God, power and Godhead, so that they were without excuse. Now look at this. Because when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Now here it is, verse 23. Four categories of sin. And changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Well, what's corruptible man? Humanism. All man can do without God. Antichrist spirit directly opposes the Lord. Self-centeredness again. That's corruptible man. Birds, mysticism, occult, cults, false religion. Four-footed beast. Power, money, materialism, control of other human beings. Isn't that interesting? Creeping things, addictions, drugs, overeating. I didn't hear one amen. Fornication, adultery, lesbianism, homosexuality, sex outside of marriage. That's called creeping things. That's what God put on the label on it. Creeping things, the things that creep in the night. That's where most of it's done. In the night, you see. Now, well, it's getting late. I got to quit. But we're just getting started. Next time, I'm going to tell you how to get the weeds out. How to get the weeds out. I can't do it now. We would be really late. But I want you just to kind of set the picture. Don't miss next week, coming attractions, because I'm going to tell you how to get these things out of your life with God's help. I'm going to tell you how I got them out of my life. I'm going to tell you some things. That's going to be next time. But right now, what I want you to look in the mirror of God. And I want you to spend this week just saying, God, I want you to clean the weeds out of my life. I want these weeds out. Why do you still think you're having the same problems now you did 20 years ago when you got saved? Why do you think you're still having these battles with anger and problems in families and all these kind of things? Why are you still having them? Because the weeds are still there. You see. Why can't you get it together in your Christian life? Why can't you be consistent in your Christian life? Because of the weeds. Nothing good's going to grow there. Satan knew that you were going to get saved. I think he works doubly hard on those that are going to be saved. He plants a double crop of weeds in there. And they don't leave just because you get saved. I want to underline that and put some stars by it. Now, in some cases they do, but not all the time. Usually they don't. And God may take care of some of them, but He'll leave some there, so you'll have to work with Him in your Christian life to get rid of them. You understand what I'm saying? Because if you don't learn to work with God here, how are you going to do it in heaven?
Amen.
This is the training ground. This is the wilderness. This is the place where we're learning to clear the garden, break up the soil, plant, fertilize, etc. Put the right things in. Give them time to grow. It takes time. You see. And I'm going to tell you one thing right now. God didn't put the weeds there. Don't blame God. God didn't put them there. It's very clear the enemy put them there. And maybe this time, I'm not picking on anybody. Haven't got anybody in mind when I preach these things. I just want to help you. Get up out of that miry clay and set your feet on a rock. Hallelujah. That's what this thing's all about. If we can't tell the truth, my goodness, where we're going to do it? You see. And as long as I can stand up, I'm going to be doing it. I'll even do it when I'm sitting down. Because we need this. I said we. We need this. We need the Word of God. You need to go over these scriptures. I hope you go over them this week. And then we're going to get in what to do about it. Because everybody has something on that list. And maybe more than one. And it takes something special to get rid of it. I'm going to explain how to do it. And some people won't do it. I'm just going to tell you right now. They claim they're Christians, but they won't do it. They're going to spend one more night with the frogs. You know where I got that? I got that from Pharaoh in Egypt.
Amen.
You know, there was frogs everyplace. Bedrooms, in the bed, in the food. Everywhere you can imagine there were frogs. And Moses, God, that was part of the plague. They worshiped frogs and they got what they wanted. You understand what I'm saying? And they thought they were eating hamburger and it was, oh well. Anyway, the point is, Moses came in and he said, if you let us go, God will get rid of the frogs. And Pharaoh said, how about tomorrow morning? One more night with the frogs. Hallelujah. You know, and there's Christians that are spending weeks and months and years with the frogs. Are you listening to me? And God wants to get them out of your life in the name of Jesus and destroy them entirely. Aren't you glad you came today? Let's stand before the Lord.